the Property Pod. Welcome to the Property Pod with MoneyWeb. The property sector is an ever-changing sector. And in this podcast series, your host, Suren Naidu, chats to movers and shakers in the property industry.
Hi there, and welcome to the Property Pod, South Africa's premier property investor podcast. My name is Suren Naidu, and on this weekly MoneyWeb show, we gain insider insights from leading executives, analysts, developers and entrepreneurs in the country's expansive property industry. The Sibaya Coastal Precinct north of Umhlanga in Greater Durban or eThekwini is one of the fastest growing residential nodes in South Africa and is increasingly becoming a mixed-use precinct. It was originally envisioned and planned by Tongaat Ulett on their sugarcane land, but following its financial woes, the Durban developer Devemco Group has recently taken over as the master developer and has rebranded it to simply the Sibaya Precinct. Devemco has undertaken several developments in Sibaya and Umhlanga over the last decade or two. Now, on our latest podcast, we have Charles Thompson, the founder and MD of Devemco, to give us the latest on the mega development zone in KwaZulu-Natal. There are major infrastructure plans around it, which are backed by the KZN government and eThekwini municipality. In fact, last week there was an event at Sibaya around infrastructure with KZN Premier Tami Ntuli attending. A very warm welcome to the Property Pod. Charles, how's the weather down on the coast?
Oh, thank you very much, Suren. Yes, it's a little bit crispy. It's getting a little bit cold, but for probably around the country, this is still nice and moderate with warm water. So we love winters in Durban. Very, very happy to be not sweating all day long as our summers usually are.
That's classic, a Durbanite complaining that it's cold and it's probably much warmer than Johannesburg. To kick off, Charles, how significant is the Sibaya precinct on the KZN and SA property scene? It seems to have been quite a massive development that's undergo for a number of years now.
Yes. Well, Suren, look, I mean, you know, it's always been sitting in the development triangle of Durban, which is obviously Umhlanga, Canubia, and then obviously the airport, and then down to the coastal regions of Sibaya. That's sort of the development triangle, as we call it. And we've noticed that obviously the continued trend of sort of city migration out to the northern suburbs, both residential, business, and the like. And we see that Umhlanga is now full in terms of commercial. So the natural spill is further north. And that's the reason why we're getting a large draw of commercial, retail, and predominantly residential interest. The node itself is a big node. Geographically, it's a big node, so it's about 400 to 500 hectares of developable land, you know, sitting within 5 kilometers of Umhlanga and 5 kilometers from the airport. So it's very well positioned, relatively flat, and yeah, it's got some very, very good soil to found on for building. It's got, you know, ample supply of electricity and water and road networks. So it is very strategically positioned and prime for development. Mm. And in terms of total rollout value, in the region of about 50 billion, all said and done, on the completion of the entire node.
And that's probably over like a 20-year period or so, hey?
Yes. So we're probably 10 years into the journey, and obviously Tongaat Ulett were the pioneers originally. And if they'd had 3 or 4 of us, then, you know, this would have been a 20-year rollout. because of their woes and wobbles, it has been slow and a bit, you know, static. But, subsequently we've bought large chunks of the node out and are rolling it out. So I would reckon 10 to 20 years to finish the node.
Just for some insight, when did Devemco become involved in the node, and how much has it become part of the master developer of the precinct now? Has your consortium, you mentioned, bought pieces of land? So you own most of the land in that node that needs to be developed out now, is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. So we actually celebrate our 10-year anniversary in the node in September this year. So we've been around for a decade in this node from our first acquisition. And we were buying small parcels, I'm talking 2 or 3 hectares at a time. We've recently acquired the node 1 and node 5, which is the last sort of coastal face of the precinct, about 50 or 60 hectares, developable hectares. And we've just acquired the node which is inland of Salta Sibaya, another 100 hectares of land which we own. So collectively at the moment, we've got about 150 developable hectares, new developable hectares, on top of the 30-odd hectares we've got in our existing Node 6, Salta Sibaya, to develop, which we've just started rolling out. So, you know, near as damn it, 200 hectares of developable land is under our ownership at the moment.
Okay, so it makes sense that you're the master developer there. Give us a little bit of history of the company. When was it started and what are some of the major developments, both at Sibaya and Mhlanga? Because you have Devemco for 10 years or so at Sibaya, but you've been involved in some landmark developments in Mhlanga as well.
Yes. Yeah, so we've developed out the Mhlanga Arch was our team. We put it together. We acquired the land. We raised all the equity. So we built the Hilton Hotel, the residential towers, all the commercial, the BMW dealerships there. And then we've also just recently launched the Salt Rock City in Balito, which is another massive development. First section of land was sold out recently and designed, developed, and managed by ourselves, which is probably in the region of 500 to 700 million, the first phase. So we're going to roll that out over the next 10 years up in Salt Rock. Yeah, obviously the Sibaya precinct and the projects range from, you know, apartments, Ocean Dune, Pebble Beach, into Gold Coast, and of more recent, the Salta Sibaya precinct with the retail and Mount Cotton and the over 50s living. So all in all, about 6 billion in Sibaya, with another 2 billion in the Mhlanga precinct over the last sort of 10 years. And hopefully going to double that in the next five. That's the plan.
You answered my next question there. Everybody also wants to know about figures, but you know, we know what happened with Gateway since 2000. And obviously, as you said, that's a natural progression there. What does the future development pipeline look like? I know you talked 50 billion rand over 20, 30 years, but that development pipeline, as I understand, Devemco is on the drive for it to become a true mixed-use precinct beyond just residential.
Yes. So, I mean, look, we've had a couple of factors. I mean, external factors which have really assisted is obviously the Club Med and the new three flights that are coming into the airport that will stimulate. You know, and I currently, from discussions with them, there's British Airways, Air France, and Ethiopian Airlines flying directly landing into Durban. That's sort of what they've bedded down, and that will stimulate our hotel use, because we've obviously got tourists, we've got passengers, we've got crew, all need close hotels. Mm. It'll stimulate more offices. It'll stimulate trade around the new airline. So that alone helps. The node needs more of those catalytic type, you know, end users and national users, not just Durbanites. These are big brands that are coming from Joburg and Cape Town and deciding that they're going to reside in Durban, which is a huge plus. And that will stimulate other items. You know, obviously retail, got a very big demand for medical. Currently talking to two hospitals, subacute facilities, specialist facilities, cardiac facilities. We've got a very big retail node, which we're about to launch next week, with some serious anchors all signed up, and we'll do an announcement on that. So that'll be another 10,000 square meter retail node, linking into some medical, linking into some more sort of wholesale DIY side of retail. That should stimulate some more offices and so on and so on. So, yes, there's schools that are very interested, some preschools. There's no preschools in the area. It's something that's highly demanded. So, yes, it's going to be a fully inclusive, fully mixed-use, integrated and secure development. So we're very excited about it.
Since you mentioned school, I was going to ask about a hotel component, considering your involvement in Mhlanga Arch. But the schools component, I remember when back in Durban, I actually wrote a story about Advertech looking at a university campus there. Is it pure schools, or is a potential university campus also potentially on the cards there?
The tertiary education facility is 100% on the cards. How it will look and play out, we're not sure, but there are definitely some private tertiary facilities that are going to be coming. Would it be a campus of five or six of these facilities that sort of simulates a modern university? That's probably what it will be, rather than one, let's call it, traditional UCT style university. I would pretty much guarantee in the next 5 to 10 years we will have some of these facilities coming up. In fact, we are talking currently to one at the moment, which would be our first tertiary facility, and that would start early next year.
Okay.
So that's also something very exciting that we can't wait to announce, but it's not quite there yet.
Okay, we'll have to keep an eye out on that. So in the last few weeks, we've had a couple of guests at the Future Hospitality Conference in Cape Town talking hotel developments. You mentioned the Club Med. I know you are the developer of the joint venture partner in Umhlanga Arch, and that Hilton
Yes.
Garden Inn is there. What sort of brands are you looking at from a hotel perspective in that node? Because I see you're also dubbing a potential convention center.
Yes. So we actually, I mean, we've had some very good close tie-ins and link-ins to Sun International, because they obviously got the Sibaya Casino, which is, you know, literally two kilometers of the crow flies. They're doing a massive big upgrade at the moment. And that means that they'll have theater, they'll have conference centers, upgrades there, and they want to tie in with shuttles and that to us. So there's that facility, which is actually a fantastic facility, sometimes forgotten about, but it's a fantastic facility. And then we want to introduce probably a 4- and 5-star affiliated linked hotel group. So you've got 4-star rooms and 5-star rooms. And we'd be talking to your premium brands, like your Radisson's, Hilton, definitely again, maybe an Intercontinental brand. That's the type of brands we would want to be bringing to the node. And it's the brands that our international tourists and guests for the Club Med facilities will certainly know of. So, and they are interested and very, very, there's some quite lengthy discussions that have already been had. And everyone's saying yes at the moment. So it's just a matter of time and obviously the size of what we put up, how many keys. But probably 500 rooms is what's sort of required over the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay, that's very interesting. So, you know, it kind of connects the two and it's quite close to the airport, as you mentioned. Talking infrastructure
yes.
now, the infrastructure kind of launch event, Sibaya is not a new development, but a lot of infrastructure has gone in over the years. How much of investment in terms of support infrastructure has come into the node thus far? You know, if you fly into the airport, the M2 highway passing Gingshaka and heading down to Umhlanga and Durban is quite a big construction site, never mind they completed that interchange at Gateway several years ago.
Yeah, so I think that current corridor, the total upgrade sort of in that region on the N2 is in the region of about 1.5 to 2 billion. And then coming from the N2 is if you were coming into Mshloti or towards the Sibaya node, that's what we launched or cut the ribbon for yesterday, was our commitment as developers to upgrade those roads and bridges and access into the precinct. It'll be about a further 200 million that we'll be putting in starting from next month. Start building the road upgrades and linking all those new bridges and precincts and corridors and tunnels underneath the roads and all sorts of stuff. Tongaat Hulett has probably put in the region of 500 to a billion of infrastructure with new pump stations and sewer treatment works and roads and bulk power, etc. And we've probably matched that very closely, 150 to 200 million of infrastructure we've put in. Yeah, so I think probably answer is probably close to a billion between Tongaat Hulett ourselves and what's coming in the next year, and then probably a billion from the provincial roads departments to do with this precinct. And that, obviously that spawns into a lot of jobs.
There was a statement recently from Itakwena Municipality, but obviously that includes provincial government a little bit as well, if it's a SIP, national government funding, and obviously Sanral is spending a lot on that N2, not just the N3. But that was quite a significant development, because it's almost like a change of tune a little bit by Itakwena Municipality. I know in Tongaat's years, they probably would be envious now that government is saying that they're going to put more infrastructure funding to unlock that development besides what private developers like yourself are doing. It was the same with that development on the West Town. Do you want to comment a little bit on that? Because I'm sure that's that kind of will expedite the development of the Sibaya node.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's sort of a chicken and egg scenario, because without development and the, you know, obviously the creation of new rates, the government cannot survive. The municipality need new rates, as well as obviously maintaining existing rates. So the sort of the it became down to a very simple business model, in that we looked at what do we need to spend in the entire precinct over the next 10 years, or the municipality needs to spend. You know, what are the new rates that we're going to generate? You know, on top of the jobs and the training and all the rest of it, what are the actual cash metrics and rates we're going to pull out of this new development? And what was the payback period? And when we did that, it was sort of a 7-year payback period on the rates that we're going to generate by them funding, or committing to fund some of the road infrastructure. To fast track that, what we've done is this ribbon cutting, which was yesterday. We've committed to put the first 200 million in, and in lieu of that, we will open up the entire node and give them time to raise funding for the ongoing upgrade works. So that allows us to activate, to get all our planning approvals done and get all our buildings done and get the land going, and at the same time allows them to continue funding, you know, into the near future, the next 5, 10 years of road upgrades.
I asked you about, you know, the history with the company with Sibaya and Amshlanga, but do you want to give us a little bit of history of the company itself, Devemco, and maybe your previous expertise? Because I understand you were in the construction industry at one stage, and you also were involved in that, I think it was that mini, the development in Lower
Yes,
Amshlanga that
yes,
included
yes.
the mini there. Obviously, that was a long time ago, but just some history for
Yeah.
those people who don't know Charles Thompson.
Yeah, so I studied at university, construction management degree in Durban. Went over to the UK 5, 7 years, and did some really nice prominent buildings there, the Gherkin and some of the major inner city commercial retail developments. Came back and yeah, started a construction business that was very, very young, and grew that business called Construction ID. Was a financial director there for 10 years, and we started developing for clients and building and doing turnkey developments, and basically as the builder. And yeah, sometimes work was dry, so I had to make work, which meant finding guys that had land, and you know, finding tenants that wanted a building and putting the deal together. And then after 2 or 3 years of that, I thought, well, hang on, I'm actually doing a developer's job here, and that's how it all started. And we were involved in Beacon Rock, which was the mini building. We were building it, and the developer went into liquidation and couldn't pay. We ended up buying it out of liquidation, and that was our first major development. Two construction companies, Jacobi Nickel and Construction ID, were the builders. And I ended up running that development on the financial side. Didn't mess it up too badly, and we did okay. And yeah, that was it. So the rest is history. And we, yeah, we, I sort of carried on running the construction business while I started the development company, Devemco. And then eventually the Devemco business became so big, left the very amicably left Construction ID, who still do most of our work. And yeah, and then we are now where we are, with about 250 staff and consultants that sit under our roof, and that we feed off each other, and very integrated, one sort of interlocking sort of team that can jump onto something in all facets and design it and get it to market, market it, sell it. It's all in-house attorneys, and it's been fantastic. It's allowed us to be very quick, resilient, and we can work for any developer, but obviously we try and make sure that we work for the Salta Sibaya developer, as which is ourselves as well. So yeah, that's why we're doing some work in Ballito, and we can do work in Botswana, which we've currently doing a lot of work for the Botswana government. Yeah, so we're a fully integrated team that do developers work and other developers works.
Okay. I was going to conclude on that note. Is Devemco only invested in KZN? So clearly it isn't. You're doing some work in Botswana, but I understand you travel a bit to Australia. Do you have other offshore opportunities either currently looking at
Yes.
or for the future?
Yes, absolutely. We've got some stuff that we're doing in Australia at the moment. There's a lot of particularly a lot of interest in hotels coming up to the Olympics 2032. So we've got two or three projects we quite closely linked into there, that we are starting to plan and get the rollout for some of the Olympic fringe stuff. And we've got a project we're looking at the moment in Mauritius, with a group of developers there that need some expertise. So we are truly able to do whatever we do, sort of anywhere, because most of our stuff is cloud-based, web-based. Everyone can plug in from wherever they may be: Cape Town, Durban, Joburg, and so we've got some nice green shoots in a lot of international countries at the moment.
Well, Charles, we'll have to leave it there. I didn't realize it was such a big business, and it's a good thing considering what has happened to Tongaat. It might be old news now, but I remember 3 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, writing a story is what's going to happen to North Coast development, and one could say thank goodness for developers like Devemco and maybe others in the West that have taken on some of these Tongaat ULIT nodes and are pushing ahead with developing it. It hasn't actually stopped. But thank you so much for your time. I'm sure we could chat a lot longer. Looking forward to some of the updates and big projects ahead.
Thank you so much, Serene. Thanks for your time. Always a pleasure.
That was Charles Thompson, MD of property developer Devemco Group.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Property Pod with Serene Naidu. To listen to more episodes, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates. Follow Suren on Twitter at Suren Naidu for more of his property industry content and other business stories.